It's beginning to feel, I can't sing it, a lot like Christmas outside and inside as well, you may have noticed when you came in. Welcome to Christmas in October, and nobody can dispute this, I don't think. Not many people were here, but I believe we began it in 1980. So this is the 43rd year of doing Christmas in October at Grace Bible Church. This scripture reading this morning may have sounded a little bit strange, Paul getting stoned and so on, but the idea there was after they went through their ministry, they came back to Antioch together with the church and talked about what God had done. And that's what we're doing today, isn't it? We're looking at what God is doing through our missionaries, and we're having this council, and you're part of that council today. So let's pray for the service, and then I'll introduce a couple of our missionaries. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who sent the greatest missionary of all time, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a problem we could not solve, the problem of our sin, separating us from you, but you and your love and wisdom sent your Son to die for us that we might trust in him as our Savior, the one who paid for our sins so that we could have eternal life with you. So today we start off, Father, by praising you for sending your Son in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries who love and serve you. Lord, you've given us such a great group of missionaries. Some have been serving for many, many, many years. Others for a shorter period. But our missionaries love you. They love your word. They're faithful and true. And so, Lord, we thank you for them. And, Lord, we pray that you would help each one who gives a testimony this morning. You would bless that testimony. And we also pray as the gospel goes forth that you would bless that message as well. Lord, we pray that you might be honored and glorified in this service. We pray that you might provide for the missionaries as this love offering is taken today. We also pray for funds that come to the church, that you would give wisdom for using those funds wisely. Lord, we know that in our body and those that we know, there are people that are suffering affliction, some physically, some emotionally, and some spiritually as well. We pray that you would bring strength and healing and help from your very hand. Lord, we pray that you would today bless this service for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for your grace, and we commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See, that's why we're co-chairs, right? I need help. I need help with some organization things, like finish what I'm supposed to be doing here. Oh my, I'm sorry. First, Caitlin Bailey is going to come up, give a testimony about her position with Camp Gilead. And a little side note, I am especially thankful for us being able to support Camp Gilead through her, since Granddaddy and Grandmommy Jensen founded the camp in 1935. So anyway, and I heard about it my whole growing up life, but in a good way, of course. But and so she's going to speak and talk about her ministry there. She is our newest missionary at Grace Bible Church. Can we? It's exciting because for the most part when we start supporting a missionary, we do it for a very long time, you know. So anyway, it's good. And then after she is done, Jim Lambeth will get up and give a testimony about the Awana ministry, which is very strong at Grace Bible Church, and also he would will give a gospel, a short gospel message as well. So we are excited about what God is doing. We have a new missionary family, the Pavs, this year, and last I heard they were going to the island they're going to live on, and they were building their house on stilts. Not because of floods, but I think because of just needs to get away from the animals, I think. You know, that shows you how much I know. But we'll learn more about it when they actually come and speak. But the Lord bless you.
Hello, everyone. Like you said, my name is Caitlin Bailey. I am the camp director at Camp Gilead, but I am originally from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And yes, I've talked to the pastor about how he pronounces his name. This is my family up here. My parents, I am the oldest of two girls, and my sister is married and has some wonderful children. I moved down to Florida in 2021 and joined Camp Gilead in that year. But I am from Pennsylvania, so calling this Christmas is kind of weird to me. I'm waiting for snow, which never happens, but that's okay because I never have to shovel it, so that's great. I am 34 years old. I love Star Wars and K-pop and prefer to be in bare feet, and knew that God wanted me in camping ministry from the time I was in 11th grade. I went to Appalachian Bible College in West Virginia, and I got a Bachelor of Arts in Camping Ministry and Bible Theology. I joined an internship with an organization called Children's Bible Ministries in 2020 and had never heard of the organization before, but they would take interns and teach them about the three C's of Children's Bible Ministries. One of those C's is camp, and I got to come to Camp Gilead in 2020. We did have camp in 2020. It was amazing, and I loved it. And they asked me to come back as the camp director. So, the three C's that we focus on are camps, correspondence lessons, and clubs. Our clubs and our correspondence lessons happen throughout the school year. Clubs are either after school or before school, and we will bring children on property or go to them and teach them about God. We play games, we have snacks, and we love on them and children in our local community throughout the school year. Our correspondence lessons are snail mail that these children get, which is so vintage. They love it. And we have, I know, I'm sorry. But they love it because they get mail addressed to them. And it's a Bible lesson. They read it, they fill out the answers on the back, and then they mail it back to us. We grade it, we send them the next one. If they do all of the lessons, and this is for kindergarten through 12th grade, if they do all the lessons, the first year, they get a week of camp for free. And the rest of the time they do the Bible lessons, they get half off. So it's a great incentive for them, for their parents, and they're hearing God throughout the whole year. Camp is our biggest C, in my opinion, as camp director. It takes up the most of my time. And it is one of the best, if it's not the best way, to reach people with the truth of God's word. Because we are taking them out of their normal rhythms of life, and we are filling those spaces with God. And they are open to it because it's a new spot and a new area. And they're not allowed to have their electronics. They leave their phones at home and their game. It's not Game Boy anymore, but you know, all the Nintendo Switch and the Xboxy things, and you know how much I'm into video games, but you know, they don't have those. And so they are here for a week with our cabin leaders who are sharing God's word with them. A typical week of camp for us is starting Sunday at 4 p.m. and goes all the way till Friday at 4 p.m. They come, and a day in the life of a camper goes like this. We have, they get up in the morning. Then they say the Pledge of Allegiance before going to breakfast. And after breakfast, they have their morning devotions time, which is called SOAP. It's Inductive Bible Study Method, and it stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. After that, they go do activities like swim and go tubing on our lake. And they have rock wall and archery and BB guns and fun things to do like that. After that, we have Bible class. Then we'll have lunch. We have flat on bunk, which is nap time, pretty much. And then after that, they get to work on cleaning their cabins, and whoever has the cleanest cabin gets the golden plunger. They love it. It's so fun. And then we will do activities again. We have missionary time. We actually ask missionaries to come to our property to teach our children about missions and why it is still so important in our world today. Then we'll have dinner, we'll have a big group game, and then we have our chapel. With the amount of Bible that we fit into 1 week of camp is equivalent to the same amount of hours as 25 Sundays. Lives are changed at our camp. Lives are changed at all sorts of camps, but this is the one that I'm talking about. And so it's amazing what God does. We have children who come who have never heard the gospel before, to all the way to those who have gone all the way through the Awana program. It's not a church camp. It's not like youth groups are coming. It's individuals. And it's a wonderful ministry opportunity. We actually had a girl come up to me. She had never been to camp before this summer. And her cabin leader came up with her and said, "Sunday, 2 hours into it, I'm homesick. Can I call mom and go home?" And I was on the way to do something. I said, "I will get back to you on this. I'm so sorry. I gotta go." And I forgot. But praise God that I forgot, because on Thursday, she became a Christian. And we actually had a young man become a Christian an hour before his parents came to pick him up to go home. This past summer, I actually had the opportunity to lead one of our campers to Christ. Her name is Riley, and her cabin leader came up to me on Thursday and said, "I've shared the gospel. She kind of gets it, but she wants to wait, and I don't know if I shared it right. Could you come talk to her tomorrow?" Now, mind you, they leave on Fridays. I was like, of course I will come talk to her about God. So Friday at Oasis, which is our snack shop, I came up and I said, "Where is she? I can talk to her now." She says, "She's getting her snacks." Like, okay, I'll come back. Came back. Where is she? Well, now she's in the gym, and I told her to come back when she was ready to talk about God. And I was like, nope. Jesus left the 99 to find the one. We're going to do that too. And so we went and got her out of the gym and talked to her about God, and I shared the gospel and asked her questions, and she knew the answer. She understood, and so she prayed. And when she looked back up at me, the peace and joy in her smile, I knew that we had a new sister. She actually got to come back to camp 2 weeks later. And the cabin leader said at the end of the week, "I remember her from the first week. And she was sad. She was downtrodden. When she came this week, she couldn't stop reading her Bible. And she was so full of joy." Lives are changed at camp. And we do all sorts of fun things and silly things, like we have Wacky Wednesday, we have Tie-Dye Tuesday, and we do all these fun things so that they will listen to us when we talk to them about God. So I want to invite you to send your children, tell your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, whatever. We're only an hour drive from here, and they get to do some amazing things. And next summer, we are going to be talking about being fearless. And you may join us at the castle of Camp Gilead and come with your children and teach. We are going to teach them how to be fearless, how our knights of the realm know that their father, their emperor, God, looks at the inward, not the outward. And he looks at their character, not what they are, but what they can become. And so when they know how to be fearing the world less, they can be fearless, reaching the world for God. Because when God is on our side, what can mortal man do to us? Thank you.
Wow, how do I follow that? Thanks, Caitlin. Of course, I'm Jim Lambeth. My wife, Lori's up here, and it's just great to be here with y'all, and we just appreciate your love and care. Grace Bible is an amazing church, and your mission's heart. Just appreciate Pastor Lancaster, who's a dear friend, and so many dear friends here, and I get emotional. It's okay, I guess. But and we appreciate Ken and Joe Jensen and their leadership and the whole missions team. So just thank you so much. And this is just special. We've never been at a Christmas October service, so this is really kind of cool. Just to give you an update about Awana. Maybe you've never heard of Awana. I know you have a great ministry here, but if you're new, stands for approved workmen are not ashamed, right out of the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, and that's one reason Grace Bible has it. It's all focused on the gospel. We're going to share that in a little bit. But what's happening? It's in 134 countries now. Maybe you didn't know that. So you can go online and see different countries. Many of those countries you probably support. And also over 70,000, I think it's over 75,000 churches. It's just amazing what God's doing here locally in Florida and around the world. And then we're reaching 5.7 million kids and youth throughout the world, which we're not done yet. The Lord's not done. He's going to come back someday, but we've got to be about his work until that happens. What's happened in Florida? We serve in Florida. We crisscross the state up and down, all the way from the Panhandle all the way down to Key West. It's just amazing. And that's appreciate your prayers. We travel, but we've had 30 new clubs the last year. God gets all the credit. That's not us. It's just that's amazing growth, especially since COVID. That really changed a lot of things to Awana. We've had to think differently, a lot of streaming. I know everybody loves Zoom meetings. Probably not. And we're on Zoom a lot, and so it's nice to be back in person. And just also, this is the first year we come back to Awana Leadership Conferences. It's sort of been slow, but it's nice to get people back and train them and equip them. And but a lot of people, we had to develop online training per COVID, and it's great, but it's just not the same as in person, you know. So in some, it meets a need. Some like online, some like in person. So we just meet the needs as we see fit. And it's neat that we got to meet Caitlin this morning. I was telling her we used to have Sparky Camp, so it's kind of neat that connection there. We had Sparky Camp years ago at Camp Gilead, great ministry. And also, this is really a harvest field that we want to share. This is really should get you excited. There's over 4 million children and youth in the state of Florida. Think about that. Let that settle in for a minute. Over 4 million. Now, we reach almost 6 million with Awana. There's over 4 million in our state. Now, I always say, hey, they're not attending Awana yet. How cool would that be if all 4 million were to go to an Awana club? And it's just that's our prayer request. That's our harvest field, and that's what you guys are a part of. So we want to share it. And it's growing. You know, it's just amazing. A lot of people are moving to Florida. And then Caitlin, it's funny, we didn't plan this. She talked about 3 C's. Well, we have the 3 B's. I move up a letter. And Ken didn't know that either, and so it's kind of cool. It's just amazing. I'm sitting there like, this is really cool. And but it's belong, believe, become. And the belong is really highly relational. You know, and I always tell pastors, like, well, you know, believe's got to be first. Like, but the belong, those kids need that loving, caring adult. And if they don't feel like they belong, sometimes they won't be open to believing. And so that's why if you serve in Awana, or maybe you're looking for a minister to serve in, put a plug in for Michael. He didn't ask me to say that, but they could always use you, I'm sure, to listen to Bible verses, mentor these kids, and he's shaking his head back there. And so that belong piece is so important, you know, and I just go by like my parents went through a divorce when I was 4 years old, and I had Awana leaders mentor me. I still remember them to this day, and so they had that loving, caring adult. Believe in Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's the most important part of Awana. It's the gospel. And we can trust him by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And that's where, you know, you as a loving, caring adult get to pour into those kids. Maybe you're nervous. That's okay. I get nervous too. That's why God gets all the credit. It's just amazing just sharing a simple gospel message. And then we want to, after they trust Christ, their Savior, we want to help lead them. They become lifelong disciples with Christ. Doesn't mean they're all going to be pastors. We would love that, or maybe Christian school teachers. But whatever the Lord leads them, whatever career, I know we have all different careers here, past backgrounds. He loves them, and they could be mentors to young kids and as they grow up. And we're trying to envision what the church of 2050 may look like if the Lord tarries. Hopefully he's going to come back way before then. But that means the kids today that we're serving are going to be leaders of 2050, 30 years from now. So think about that. So we don't know what that's going to look like. It's in God's hands, but we want to train them. Are we preparing kids for the church of 2050? And you guys are a part of that. So it's belong, believe, become. Those are the 3 B's. And that's what I want to really focusing on. And then one last thing before I wrap up. Want to share globally, Africa Schools Project. Africa, they saw, normally Awana is always in local churches, but they contacted us several years ago and said, hey, why can't we bring this to the schools, public schools, at that fashion? And never happened before. And here, we would love that to happen in the United States. I mean, we have a lot of great ministries in public schools. We just don't have that access as Awana. Well, Africa invited us in. They started in Zimbabwe. And they said, hey, so they had the school superintendent come observe. And they said, and then she was so touched with it, she said, I want this at all our public schools. I think it's like 7,500, and that's just whetting your appetite in Zimbabwe. Now they're in like 10 countries in Africa. What was happening is kids didn't want to go to school. They were being disrespectful to their parents. They were throwing litter on the ground. Anything that could go wrong was going wrong, and they weren't listening to their teachers. And ever since that, Awana is part of their curriculum. They started listening to their teachers. They actually want to come to school. They're picking litter up off the ground, and they're listening and respecting their parents. So parents are excited. Teachers are excited. School superintendents are excited. And so that's what you guys are a part of. That's an extension of you. The cool thing is that's a possibility to reach another 30 million children in Africa and over the next few years. And so that's what you guys are a part of. So pray for that. It's called the Africa Schools Project. And then most important, the reason we have Awana, it's all about the gospel. And my testimony, just real briefly, I trusted Christ when I was 10 years old as a result of seeing a film, A Distant Thunder. It's in the 70s. You can Google it, but it scared me to death. I don't know if you've seen it. It's based on the book of Revelation. And I said, I don't want to be going through that. And not trying to scare anybody, but are we ready? You know, and it's the most important decision you ever make. And it's just by trusting faith, by faith, that Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. We teach kids, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They can understand that. We all have to realize we're sinners. I was a sinner. I think nobody's perfect. We all do things wrong. But then our payment, we deserve death, right? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God loved us that much, and we focus on the book of Romans, but that's just one of many books. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us that much to take our place on the cross. And that's the most important thing I could share with you. And all we have to do is believe by faith and trust what he did for us. And then you can share your testimony with others. And hopefully everybody here has made that decision, but I never want to take that for granted. You know, as you have a church service, there may be somebody visiting. Maybe you've heard the gospel before to say, I'm not ready, just like Kayla mentioned. You know, sometimes those kids aren't ready. We just say, hey, we would not want anybody to leave here today without making that decision. So let me pray and lead you. But this is in your own words, and if you feel led, and let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for Grace Bible Church, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Lancaster as a shepherd and all these dedicated people that come each week. And we just pray if there's any visitors here today or people coming for many years, and maybe they've never made a decision, Lord. They can say a simple prayer like this in their own words. It's nothing special, but dear Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong, but the best way I know how, I'm asking forgiveness of my sins. And I believe by faith that you died on the cross, were buried, and rose again, that I can have a home in heaven. And it's just that simple, Lord. They don't have to earn anything. We don't pay anything. You loved us just how we are, even with whatever our past or what may happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen, Lord. And we just pray if somebody has made that decision, we could celebrate with them, Lord. And we just thank you again for Grace Bible and their missions emphasis. Thank you for this special service. Just pray that you'd bless each one here, each family, and as they go and share the love of Christ throughout St. Petersburg, Lord, and bless and guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God bless you. We would love to celebrate. If somebody made a decision, please let Pastor Lancaster, myself, or Ken, or anybody, the missions team, we would like to celebrate that with you. But thank you again for your love and care and your support, and God bless you.
Thanks to both of you. We've heard about some of our missionaries reaching children in particular. And we're just privileged that we are partnering with 19 different missionaries, some of which focus on children, some of which focus on any of the spectrum that you can think of, but reaching people who need to know the Lord. We have other missionaries visiting with us today, and in a few minutes they're going to get to come up here and tell you who they are. I wish we could hear an extensive presentation from every one of them. But we have a special opportunity when we're done here. We have a meet and greet table just outside the door here. We made Christmas cookies. So, you know, that we thought that might draw you. And the purpose of those cookies is for you to spend a little time with at least one of our missionaries that's here and get to know them and the work that they're doing. Another way that you can get to know them, I know some of you say, oh, I already have one of them. You don't have one of these. This is a new updated brochure, and it has, we've added to it the missionaries that we've added for this year. I believe there's at least two new ones in here. Some just barely were new when we did the last one. But we want you to be updated and use this to pray for these people and choose maybe a couple of them to be like your special family. You want to connect with them. Minister to them as you are able. So we have a way to contact them and a little blurb about their ministry. But please make sure you go home with the updated one. I'm going to set this basket up here, and as you come by a little later to put your gift on the tree, we have stockings here if you didn't get one yet, and also more brochures. So these are for all of you. So we have two purposes in meeting this way today. One, as I was sharing, is to have the church family involved in getting to know our missionaries. And the second one is to show our love to all of our missionaries by giving them a special Christmas gift. And that's why we deck out and like it's Christmas in October. At least it's cooler. We feel a little bit like it. So I got to wear my sweater today. Yay. So with your stocking, you'll put your gift, however large or small, and we'll be playing some music. I guess Celeste, I'm stealing her thunder. But you'll get a chance to participate with that in a little bit. So I would like now the missionaries that we have not seen yet that are in the house, please just come forward and stand here. And each one is going to have a chance to tell you a bit about who they are and the work that they are doing. And then we're going to be blessed with our longest standing missionary supporter, Miss Christy Lewis. Okay. Well, she figured out that she's been part of a missions council for about 30 years. We think probably more because she used to go with her parents when they went to the missions meetings. But after we have met each one of these, then Christy is going to offer a special prayer for our missionaries, and then it'll be time for the fun part. Okay, so Ken's just going to kind of take them through. So why don't you have a seat while the others are getting introduced, and then we'll have you pray.
Tez?
Oh, good. So let me give this to Steve Westcott. And why don't you tell about your ministry, maybe a little bit through the years.
Okay. We're Steve and Tibby Westcott. We're with Ethnos 360. Excuse the shaking. I didn't inherit any money from my dad, just this, you know. So we're with Ethnos 360, formerly New Tribes Mission. We had the privilege and the blessing of serving in Papua New Guinea with Eleanor and Mark and Terry for 21 years, and we came back to the States to serve on our headquarters staff in Sanford, Florida. And now, okay, I'm on the, many people don't realize, or they think it's strange, sorry, got to hold this right, that missions needs safety and security and crisis management, but that's what I've been involved with since about 1995 in Papua New Guinea, and now I'm on the organizational crisis management team. I'm involved with teaching all of our U.S. facilities. We teach our crisis management teams the principles, risk assessment. We also teach our missionaries personal security, safety before they go to the field. She'll hold it. Sorry about that. Especially when I'm in front of people, it gets worse. I was part of about 10 security directors from evangelical missions that formed an evangelical risk management network. And it's made up, our membership are all security directors of evangelical missions. Right now, we've got close to 60 evangelical missions represented. And those organizations represent at least 120,000 missionaries overseas. So we bring in special training, special speakers, presenters to present to the security directors. They can take it back to their organizations and hopefully enable their people to minister in more dangerous areas, to minister longer in dangerous areas with just simple procedures, you know, and precautions. Still going. And there's other, I'm an elder in the church that we're members of in Deltona, Florida. Tibby's a deaconess, so we're both heavily involved there. And we came here as a result of Mark and Terry Barnes inviting us in 2000. And this has been our home church since then. So, thank you.
And they had a wedding. Their daughter got married. When was that? June. And their son is just engaged, and their other son is already married. So, anyway, it's an exciting time for them. So, anyway, thank you, too.
Yes. Good morning. I see in your bulletin back there it says, go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we do. We're with Crossworld, and that's a community of people, an organization that specializes in making disciples. We do still have missionaries, but we really emphasize making disciples in other countries. Imagine, if you would, a fellow named Fred with his family. He's a small business owner in a country where missionaries are not allowed. So he lives there with his family, and he hires people from the country to work in his business. While he's doing that, he continues to live a good life. He helps people as much as he can, and they grow. They're financially better off. They are successful in that way. And as a result, after time, God uses the relationship that he develops and his wife develops with people. He uses that to help them learn about the Lord. The Spirit of God works. Many people trust Christ as their Savior. They continue working there. They tell their friends. Disciples are made. Indigenous churches are made right underneath the nose of countries that won't allow missionaries in. That's what we do. Terry and I, as representatives, we've restarted, I guess I could say, after COVID, developing disciples, growing believers in different churches, 8 to 10 churches in the Tampa Bay area, and 4 to 5 colleges in the area too. And then lastly for me, we have a Bible study at our mobile home park, and it's been going for about 8 years now. Many people from the north come down from many different religions in Canada, and we have been so blessed. It's such a lively group. We've seen many of them, some of them, trust Christ as their Savior, and we're just really glad for being able to do something right in our hometown while we're also working with the other places. And Terry has something that she'd like to say, too.
I, as any of you that knows me knows that I love kids, right? I've been privileged to be part of our Good News Club team the past 3 years, well, actually longer. But another aspect of our missions opportunity is through loving on the kids of families who are getting ready to become missionaries. Like, just picture if, now you, this is a, you can't really picture this because you're not 12 years old, but if you were 12 years old, and one day your parents came home and they said, guess what? We're going to China, or we're going to Cambodia, or we're going to Mexico, and you're going too. Well, we sort of did that with our family, with our kids. Our three were here at Grace Bible, and they were 10, 12, and 14 when we made that decision to go to the mission field, to Guyana, South America. You know, those kids have a lot of issues, don't they? A lot of challenges. Just picture that. If, you know, as a child, what's that going to be like? They have no choice. Well, one of the ministries that I have is to serve with these kids as they come to our different training programs. I get to love on them. I get to play with them. We laugh, we cry, we fight. Not much, but once in a while, you get some really strong-willed kids. But just being able to help them, to prepare them to go. So I get to do that two or three times a year. Then another neat opportunity is going to Asia, and I'll be going in February to Thailand to love on kids there. Their families serve in a lot of very, very difficult places. So that's just part of what I do, and you all, Grace Bible, are part of that. So everywhere we go, you go with us, and we thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Herb Schluterberg. Just remember me as Herb. I spell my name 15 times every day. I'm here for Fresh Start Mentoring. We started this 15 years ago when I was a chaplain in the Pinellas County Jail. And we realized that people need help when they get outside of jail, when they're leaving jail. That's when they need a lot of help. So we started mentoring people going through probation. Men are men, women are women. It's one-on-one mentoring. And after we had done that for a while, after COVID, we started working with folks going through drug court. Drug court is run by Judge Kimberly Todd, and it is not punishment, it's treatment. And we're part of that treatment, and we've worked very well with that organization. Since I've been involved with drug court, I've really got a burden for bringing the word, the truth about drugs to our juveniles. They don't have a clue. Most of their parents really don't have a clue. This product called fentanyl is 50 times to 100 times more powerful than heroin. And it's in everything now. Marijuana is not just a plant that makes you relax. It's a very serious drug now. And lots of folks just don't realize that. So we have, you know, a video by juveniles, not by the old man, by juveniles, telling the story of how their lives have been ruined, and they started with marijuana. So that's something that I want to start doing. You might ask, well, why are we doing any of this stuff? Well, in Jeremiah 29, it says to promote the welfare of the city. And though this city it sometimes seems like a foreign city, we are to promote the welfare of it. We can actually work with government agencies and improve the city. Matthew 5, Jesus says, be salt and light. So you go to a Sunday service or a Bible study, that's where you get your saltiness. Use it. Use it out in the city. And the final thing is, I wanted to quote, if I can find it, is from Peter, 1 Peter 2, and it says, be careful to to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, then even if they accuse you, even if they hate you, for accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will honor God when he judges the world. And that's another burden for the church, to be out there and giving the message to folks. If you are a mentor, you're a witness. If you're a witness, you're an agent for transformation. Now, not everybody you mentor will become the next Billy Graham. They might not even become what you think they ought to become. But if you do this, you will become what Jesus asked us to be, salt and light. And so if you would like to meet Judge Todd outside of court, we have a banquet at the end of the month. It's on the 26th. I have information I'll have out at the table. She will be there. There'll be other people there from the probation offices. Her mentors will be there and people that we've mentored. So you can come out and you can meet all of them. I was told to be short, so I'm going to be short. But I want to still thank the church. They've been with us. I think you've been with us almost every year since we've been in existence. And I want to thank Ken and the pastor for having us here this morning. So thank you.
We're going to have Christy lead us in prayer. And like we were saying, she thinks she's been on the council, not with all our time, but for 30 years. So we're thankful for her ministry. So let's, Christy, would you lead us in prayer?
Would you pray with me? Our dear Father God, we thank you and praise you for making us a family of believers and for the joy and privilege of knowing these dear brothers and sisters who have followed your example by leaving their home and loved ones to tell those who've never heard of your mission to this world to redeem us. Lord, we join in asking your blessing on each of them and pray for the courage and commitment and wisdom from your Holy Spirit as they continue the work you have called them to do. I pray also for godly relationships in their marriages, in their parenting, their work relationships, and with those they are ministering to. We also ask for favor from the governments with whom they must deal. May they have clear understanding of your word and direction as you work out the image of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in them and through them. We pray that you will meet every emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual need that they have for your glory. Finally, Father, would you also change us in this setting into better workers here at home? Because the fields are white unto harvest and workers are few. This world is becoming a very dark place. Please shine your light through all of us, your children, wherever we are in these last days for your glory. Amen.